Good morning. I'm Pastor Chris. It's great to see everybody this morning. If you're first time with us, it's a special, it's just great to have you with us. We're honored that you've come to join with us. We are in a series called Growing Love. And so falling in love, pretty easy. Being in love, most of you are either in love or want to be in love or have been in love. But actual growing love, your love growing, it's a pretty rare thing. And so we've been jumping into how could this be and how does this work. And last week, I talked to the men and we discovered that when we take this love seed and we plant it into the soil of God's call, when we say yes to God's call to be Jesus to the ones that we love and lead, then even in the toughest of times, our love can grow. It can expand during that time. It's not connected to the physical or the emotional love. The physical or the emotional love goes up and down, and it works this way. Hey, you make me feel good. I like being with you, and so I'm going to do these great loving things to you. And then the other person goes, you make me feel good. And then you do it back and forth, and you do it back and forth. But when trouble comes, and you don't make each other feel good, what do you have? You're just trying to live off the past love. And there's a different kind of love. It's spiritual love. And spiritual love comes from God. And God's love, first of all, it's eternal, so it can grow and forever. And secondly, God's love is by grace, comes from His grace and His mercy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God is love. That love can grow in the toughest of times. God's love is not His response to you. God never looked at any of you and went, you make me feel so good. No, He said, I see you need me. I see you're in trouble. And so I'm going to give my life for you. So that's the foundation, and I had an interesting experience in the first service, which is, so last week I talked to men. I love talking to men. I even love more talking to men about love and their responsibilities toward their wives. It's kind of awkward talking to the ladies. It's very, very different. And so ladies, I want to kind of set the tone. Yes, I will challenge you during the message. But what I really want to do is I want to lead you to something that you've never discovered, maybe. Or maybe you did discover it one moment at one time in your life, but you kind of walked away from it. And so I'm not preaching at you. I want to teach you. I want to invite you into something pretty special, pretty amazing. And so we're going to start with this. We're going to start with the fact that my perspective is, ladies, you kind of, in our present day, live in a house of mirrors. I don't know if you've ever been to a house of mirrors. If you ever get a chance to go to one, go in one. It's amazing. So these things that you've been taught, some of you were taught since you were little. Some of you, unbelievably, were not just taught this by your moms, but by your dads. One, never put yourself in position where you need a man. Don't ever do it. Never lose your identity as a woman, which means, hey, you're always strong, independent woman, totally different from the man. Never let anyone tell you what to do. You are the boss of your own life. You be the boss of your own life. And number four, if God does want me to submit to my husband, please give me the list so I know when I'm done. Like, I need to know how far we have to go and how all of this works. This can't mean for everything. And it really sets you up to live in the house of mirrors. It's no accident that anxiety for all of us, but among women, has shot through the roof. It's no accident that what you've been told and what God is going to invite you into are two very, very different things. And so what we're going to do is we're going to jump into what we always do. First, let's check on our plants. Let's see how they're doing. We have planted some seed in some good soil. And as you can see, Almost every week, it doubles in size. It's really, really growing. And we want to help you plant your love into some good soil. And where do we always start? We always start with, what does God say? And in this passages, we're actually going to go the same passages that we did for men last week, but now it's the women's side of the passages. As we do, ladies, I just want you to recognize the words, right? Don't apply this stuff first. Don't even try to guess what I'm trying to say. Don't do it, right? Just first listen to, and let's pull out some words. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. This idea of submit as to the Lord, or do it just the way the church does, the way that the church submits to Christ is by faith. It's trust. This is a very important part of this conversation. Submission always has a choice. When God invites you to submit, when he asks all believers and he invites them to submit, it is their choice. You have a choice. Submission is when it's something you do yourself. You go, okay, yeah, I'm going to trust you. However, each of you should also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It has the idea of honor. It's very active, and it has to do, I think maybe you can relate to it the most, it has to do with the look. And some of you may have never looked at a man this way, ever. But I love to watch couples, and you watch couples, and you watch her, and there's a look. There's a look that she gives him that's like, you are the most amazing specimen on the face of the earth. Now, some of you look at your guy and you look at him like he's the most attractive. This is not about being attractive. This is not physical, right? This is actually spiritual. This is actually like, I adore this guy. I love this guy. I trust this guy. And the most beautiful thing that you ever see is when somebody's been married for 50 years and that woman still looks at that guy the same way. How does that happen? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If she does, it means that she discovered what we're going to talk about today. It means that her love grew. Because no guy passes that test, right? You're not that guy, your whole, like when you've dated for 2 months, yeah, you haven't blown it yet, right? But no guy does that for 45 years, okay? It has to do with the look. Next passage says, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. We talked about how God the Father, God the Son, man, woman, and that the one underneath submits to, honors, treats the one ahead of them. They follow the one ahead of them. And they're responsible for the person behind them. They're responsible for that direction and where they go. Then the passage that is kind of key to this whole thing is in 1 Peter. And this is written in case your husband doesn't believe. He's not a believer. He's not following what we're talking about. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word. So if you're one of those husbands and you're here today and you came to be nice to your wife, we're glad you're here. We're really glad you're here. It's very kind of you to do that. Some of you might be here and your husband's not here, right? But you don't really buy into this, right? So that they may be won over without words, by the behavior of their wives when they see purity and reverence of your life. They watch you. It's not what you said to them. It's not what you told them they needed to do or where they needed to go. It's not that. It's the look. It's that you reverence God and therefore you reverence them. Like, these men, even though they're not doing what you want them to do, even though they're not doing what God wants them to do, You keep giving them the look. And you keep treating them as if they deserve the look. Not because they do, but because of your submission to God. Because of your relationship to God. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry, and clothes. Now, this doesn't really have anything to do with the message, but this is amazing. This was written 2,000 years ago. They didn't even have social media when this was written. What are ladies primarily focused on? These three things. How do we judge beauty? These three things. He says, no. There's another kind of beauty. It should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty, and a gentle and quiet spirit. Just a quick side note. For those of you who are followers of Christ, when God speaks to you, when you interact with God, when he's either calling you to take a step, or he's calling you and go, whoa, 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 that's a temptation you want to stay away from. How does he do it? Does he yell at you? Does he go, stop, stop, or go? Or does he whisper? He whispers. He says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Or when you're tempted and you're wrestling with God, he's like, no. That's not the direction I'm going in. Don't do it. He whispers. So then you move further away going, I'll stop if you yell. He won't yell. He doesn't yell. His spirit is quiet. Ladies, I can't explain this whole thing to you. I just want you to know it. Last week, I told the men, listen, you need to be Jesus. You need to answer that call. You're the Spirit. You're the Spirit. You are the quiet Spirit that makes all the difference. For this is the way that the holy women of the past put their hope in God. This is critical. God does not teach you, ladies. Men are amazing. You can trust them. And the reason that I gave you that man is because he is incredible. That is not what God says. God says all throughout the Bible, men struggle with sin. They struggle with all kinds of things. What he says is, put your hope in me. Put your hope in me, and therefore trust him. I will take care of you. This is what God did throughout the Bible. This is what God does all the time throughout the Bible. He calls you to do the impossible by putting yourself underneath someone who is, you're like, this isn't going to work. And he goes, that's right. But I'm going to work. I am going to deliver you. He comes to Noah and goes, listen, I want you to build this ship. It'll take you 600 years or 400 years or 500 years, right? So he starts working on this ship. He's building this ship. Everybody mocks him. His whole family, they spend all these years building this ship. Why? Because rain is coming. At this moment in history, they had never seen rain, ever. And yet he's calling them to do this step of faith. That's what he's calling you to do here. This call, this invitation, has nothing to do with your husband. It has everything to do with putting your hope in Christ and his promises to you. Now, that means hope in themselves. They submitted themselves to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. Okay, what's the good soil? You need to answer these four questions. Who gets to define who you are? Does God define it? Or do you? Are you created as a helpmate? Were you created to be? I think I skipped that passage. I'm gonna read it real quick and jump back up. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." That's you. Helper suitable is the idea that God, this man has God. Sin didn't exist at this time. This man has a relationship with God. He lives in a perfect world, but he's lonely. It's like he's not complete. And he created you. The way I see it is, it's like he had this beautiful heart, but he had a hole in his heart. He had a hole in his heart. And God created you, and you fit into that hole perfectly. You complement him. You complete him. Now, back to the good soil. Who gets to define who you are? Does God get to define that? Or would you say no? I define that. Who defines your role in the relationship? Who defines, like, are you the head or is he the head? Who gets to define that? Does God get to define that? Or you go, no, I'm going to define that. Who's responsible for leading you? Does God get to decide that? Or are you going to make that decision? And who can you trust? Can you trust God? Or do you say, no, I trust me? Well, if the answer to that question is me, if your answer to that question is, I'm going to make that decision, I decide that, then you will find it restricting and harsh to respect your husband, to submit to him, or call him Lord. You will find that you think that God has made a law or a rule that crushes you. You will find that you think that God has come up with a system whereby he treats you less than the man. But it's totally wrong. Why? Because Jesus is underneath the Father. He is no less than the Father. Jesus submits to the Father, honors the Father. He's no less. It didn't bring harshness into his life. It saved my life. And it's, if you accept it, it saves your life. Again, let me say it one more time. This is something Jesus is inviting you into. And what I'm teaching you is not how to have a great marriage. What I'm teaching you is not how to have great joy. What I'm teaching you is, how do you take your love and plant it in soil where your love can grow? Now, what if you say yes to God? What if the answer is you don't define those things, but God defines those things? When the answer is Jesus will. In other words, I'm not making that decision. Jesus make that decision. I'm going to submit myself to Christ. I'm going to say yes to the invitation. I'm going to step into that life. What happens? You will turn your heart towards your husband. Ladies, where's your heart? What do you love more than anything? What brings you your identity? What do you trust that will get you where you want to go? What's the calling of your life? There's so many things out there. Everything from your kids to your job or your career, to your house, to your extended family, to your party life, Where's your heart? For many of you, you hate the idea of submission. Because the thing that you love demands, the thing that you love turns your husband into your competition. The thing that you love turns your husband into just some kind of vehicle to get you where you want to go. Modern relationships are built on, they talk about high-value women and high-value men. You know what that means? That means the only reason this relationship is here is so I can get where I want to go. That's what you're for, to get me where I want to go. What Jesus wants to do is turn your heart towards your husband so that he is your first love. He's your calling. He's your purpose. The only way that happens is when you give your heart to Christ and what he has called you to do, to be his spirit to your man. When you do this, something happens, and your eyes are opened up to what your man is going through and the enemies that are attacking him. When your heart is not towards your man and you see the enemies, you think you're the solution. I got to get him to a counselor. I got to get him here. I got to get him to church. I got to get him into a group. I got to get him. When you turn your heart toward your man, you realize, oh my goodness, he needs somebody who believes in him. No one believes in him. Most of all, he doesn't believe in him. Every day that your man wakes up, Satan is just waiting. And the first thing he tells him is, you know you're a jerk, right? You know you're an idiot. You know you've been called to a task you'll never be able to do. You know you're missing out, right? And most of the time that I teach this to ladies, they're like, what? What are you talking about? He doesn't act like that. Well, yeah, because we're all posers. We're all faking it. But he does. You are the single most powerful voice in his life. Bar none. When he walks out the door, if you convince him he's a jerk and he's worthless and he's no good, he is a jerk and he's worthless and he's no good. When he walks out the door and you convince him he's your man and you're going to follow him wherever he goes, he might still be a jerk, but he will. He's got a chance. He's got a chance. I'm going to tell you this story because I racked my brain to try to figure out how to help communicate this to you. I've had multiple things of this happen in my own life. I didn't want to make this about me, but this is my illustration. And I'm going to give you the whole details to it. This past fall, we did something called Unfinished. And Unfinished was all about our church becoming one equipped family and resourcing that. And so we had this aspect to it, which was giving. We were going to give and we were make commitments to give. And the goal was $2 million. And it was a one fund gift, which meant it included all of our giving. And so we, over 2 years, would normally give $1 million. And we were shooting for twice that. And so we got the numbers back, and we got the first report as to how much money we got back. And It was $1 million, which meant we did all that work and we raised zero. And they came to, it was Sunday afternoon, which I'm always really tired on Sunday afternoon, came over to my house and they said, and the person who reported to it was very excited about it, and so I tried to act excited about it, and they gave me the number. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to tell the church this. It doesn't matter. We know we're trusting God. We know, walk through all that stuff. I told Lori, and she put her hands on my face. She said, Chris, it doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter what happens to the church. As long as you and I are together, we're going to be just fine. She has probably done that to me 50 times in my lifetime. Because her heart was turned toward me. Jesus is inviting you to take your love and plant it in that soil. Before I call you to take that step, take a look at some couples and how they wrestle with this.
I think it's hard to love when we want things our way. And we, like you said, when we want to control things, we want to control each other, we have expectations. And those expectations aren't satisfied. Then it's hard to love. And when we become selfish, we think about what we want, what we need, but we don't put each other first.
When I leave the house clean and I come back and it's a disaster, I have to remember what actually matters in life.
Yeah.
And then keeping the house clean is not what mattered, but that is something I struggle with.
Well, for me, he's always late. Always late. So that's a toughie for me. I always got to get on him. So I got to find patience on that one. So I'm working on that. I'm praying on that.
Para mí, yo creo que es el momento más difícil para es cuando de pronto discutimos o cuando él está mal genio. Mantenerle, amarle, darle ese amor es lo más complicado. Creo que ese es el momento que me cuesta más.
Well, it's hard to love as a Christian when the flesh is fighting and spiritually you know you have to do right by your husband because that's what God calls us to do. But it's not always easy. It is something we really work hard at in putting God first. And that is what leads us to still be happily married.
Loving each other can be hard, I think, when we're caught up in our day-to-day. So we're in a season where we have two young kids. So just managing our lives, managing our kids, I think we can fall into a routine where we're just trying to get through the day at times. And sometimes it could be easy to start maybe comparing kind of who's doing more of certain activities or less of another.
So we have a 13-month-old, and after having him, I was working a lot because I was in residency, and that was probably our hardest time in our relationship. Dealing with a newborn baby, I was not home that often, and Stephen really took the brunt of that. And I think that was a really hard time because we couldn't really focus on each other. We were all in for this new beautiful baby that we brought into this world, but focusing on one another was really hard. But that kind of answers my question for the next one is what made your love grow the most? And it was becoming this team to take care of our little boy Bennett. And I think our love has grown the most in the last 13 months, even though it was probably our hardest season so far.
So, Jesus has called your husband to love you and lead you, and that's what he wants for your life. Jesus has called your husband to provide and care for you, and that's what he wants for your life. Jesus has called your husband to cherish you, and that's what he wants for your life. But if you try to live your life figuring out how to get your husband to do those things, your heart will never turn toward him. It will always be in love with something else. You do not trust Christ because of what he's going to do in your man's life. You trust Christ because of what he is going to do in your life. And he will give you a new heart that is turned toward your man, not because of what he can do for you, because of what Christ has already done for you. But you got to let him make the call. Who are you? What's your purpose? Who do you trust? So I invite you, ladies, this morning, regardless of where your guy is, to put your hope in Christ and ask him to turn your heart toward him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know us. You know, in every relationship, we are so constantly focused on what the other person needs to do. And we know if they would only do that, we would be filled with physical and emotional love. And so I just need them to do it. But that's not how your love works at all. Your love's different. It's spiritual. It doesn't love because what the other person can do for us. You're just love. You're the source of love. So, Lord, from what I understand, you are inviting me to trust you, to put my hope in you, to submit and honor, adore you. And Jesus, that's what I want to do right now. I want to be honest with you. There's all these other things I love, and I want to put them down. I want to love you more. I want to trust you more. And then, Lord, you know my heart. You know I've been in love with so many different things all at the same time. You know that a lot of those things he mentioned at the beginning about the house of mirrors, that I believe those things. I need you to change me, Jesus. I need you to turn my heart toward him. Therefore, I put my heart in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen.